From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty, bringing you the news on this day in Maine, Friday, January 18th, 2019. And on this day, a high school in Waterville designed specifically to help make sure teen mothers have a chance to graduate. And we'll look at Governor Janet Mills' pick to head the state's Agriculture, Conservation, and Forestry Department. That's ahead in a moment. The National Weather Service is predicting a significant storm in Maine this weekend. Widespread double-digit snowfall, wind, and very cold temperatures are expected in parts of the state by the end of the day Sunday. Derek Schroeder is with the National Weather Service in Gray.
In general, this is kind of like, you know, a once-a-year type storm. So, you know, it's definitely going to be the biggest storm of the year.
The National Weather Service, by the way, is being impacted by the federal government shutdown, but meteorologists are still working, with most considered essential personnel. Schroeder says the service will continue throughout the storm with normal staff and potentially extra help.
Operations is running business as usual in terms to make sure that we're adequately putting out warnings efficiently in order to protect life and property.
Parts of the state are expected to get a foot and a half or more of snow by the end of the weekend, with high astrological tides heightening the risk of flooding in Portland and southern coastal areas. Very cold air is expected tonight before the storm, continuing into the beginning of next week. Democratic Governor Janet Mills has picked the executive director of Maine Farmland Trust to become the commissioner of the Department of Agriculture, Conservation, and Forestry. Mills will nominate Amanda Beal to lead an agency that oversees a wide range of interests, including land conservation, commercial farming, and the state's once mighty wood products industry. As Steve Missler reports, Beal's nomination is being applauded by conservation groups, while members of the forest products industry say they are hoping she'll be receptive to their concerns.
Beal, the daughter of a dairy farmer, became the director of Maine Farmland Trust in 2015. The organization boasts having conserved tens of thousands of acres that could have been developed for other purposes. As head of the organization, Beal has also promoted sustainable local farming, framing the Maine movement as a socioeconomic, environmental, and healthcare-related issue.
Food, how it is produced and how it is accessed, is one of the most important issues facing us today. But as a state and as a nation, we don't treat it that way, particularly not on the policy front.
Speaking at an event sponsored by Maine Magazine last fall, Beal argued for the need to integrate farming and food policy with other big policy issues.
Instead, our policymakers, they wrestle with issues like health care costs, with siloed thinking, unable to recognize that our food policy plays a major role in that and other key issues that we face.
I don't know Amanda Beal.
Patrick Strauch is the director of the Maine Forest Products Council, an industry group that represents the state's influential forest products industry. It's a sector worth over $8 billion, and according to a 2016 study, employed over 33,000 people. And Strauch says forest products producers participate in a global market, one that may be unfamiliar to Beal.
So I look forward to talking to Amanda and seeing if she understands the magnitude of the responsibility ahead of her.
Meanwhile, the Maine League of Conservation Voters is thrilled with Mills' pick. LCV's Maureen Druin says Beal's background is perfect for the agency.
I think Amanda's experience growing up on a dairy farm, her knowledge and deep expertise in food systems, and her background in working farmland conservation at Maine Farmland Trust make her an exceptional candidate.
Druin, whose organization last year spent nearly $1.5 million boosting Democratic candidates, including Mills, says conservation issues received short shrift under the LePage administration.
There were attacks on programs like the Land for Maine's Future program, a focus on increased timber harvesting on public lands.
The divergent response to Beal's nomination highlights the difficulty she could encounter balancing the competing interests that fall under the Department of Agriculture, Conservation, and Forestry. The agency was consolidated during the LePage administration, despite concerns that interest groups would lose their voice in a larger department. It's now the target of legislation that seeks to break the agency apart. Governor Mills has been lukewarm about the proposal, but she's enthusiastic about Beal, who owns a woodlot and is steeped in farming.
She's got dirt under her nails. She's also smart, academically smart. She's a people person.
Mills acknowledges that the agency Beal could oversee manages competing interests, but she says there are offices within the agency dedicated to each issue, and Beale will build a team of deputy directors to meet those needs.
I am not going to allow state government to neglect our stewardship of public lands. I'm not going to allow state government to fall down on our responsibility to market and support our commodities to the fullest extent, whether it's blueberries or potatoes or the dairy industry, or to fail to manage our forests and public lands sustainably, economically, and appropriately in all respects.
Beale's nomination, as well as Mills' 13 other cabinet picks, must be confirmed by the state Senate. Confirmation hearings will be held later this month. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
Nearly 50 immigrants from more than 30 countries from Armenia to Vietnam became U.S. citizens in a naturalization ceremony in Portland today. After coming to the U.S. from Brazil 14 years ago, Nady Araujo says she wants to have a say in how elections are decided.
For me, it's very important to vote, to participate in the politics and everything, and have better opportunity to jobs.
The keynote speaker of the ceremony, Governor Mills, told the new citizens that too many Americans don't exercise their right to vote. Teen birth rates in the U.S. have been on a steady decline, but there are still more than 200,000 babies born to teen mothers every year, including about 600 in Maine. Young mothers are at high risk of dropping out of school. In fact, according to some national estimates, only 40% earn a high school diploma. But there are a few schools in Maine that are designed specifically to help teen parents stay on track and guide them toward a different life trajectory. Patty White has more.
For many teen moms, the shock and fear they experience when they learn they're pregnant can be compounded by the kinds of reactions they get at school.
When I first found out I was pregnant, I was being bullied a lot.
Kayla, who asked that we only use her first name, says she never had any major problems with school before. But after she became pregnant, she says she pretty much stopped going. Her guidance counselor suggested that she enroll at the Sharon Abrams Teen Parent School in Waterville, established more than 40 years ago as part of the nonprofit Maine Children's Home for Little Wanderers. Kayla's 19 and has been attending for 2 years. She and other students settle into sofas in director Rebecca Judd's office as they wait for her to begin a parenting class.
So what are you guys struggling with right now with the babies?
Getting my homework done.
Yes.
Nine students currently attend the teen parent school. They come from the central Maine area, and while they're here, they're actually registered as students at Waterville High School. The academics are what you'd find in a typical high school, except for classes such as parenting and prenatal care.
Like, I stayed up like till like 3 a.m. last night doing homework just so I could be caught up.
What's your plan for getting caught up and keeping caught up?
There's a daycare on campus, and Judd reminds Kayla that she should take advantage of open study time in the afternoon while her son is being cared for. This kind of support, Judd says, is what sets the teen parent school apart from a traditional school.
We're smaller, we're more direct, and we're kind of like a family here for them.
The teen parent school provides diapers and wipes to students. If needed, the staff will help them find cribs, even apartments. Judd says many students couch surf because they don't have stable housing.
So they are coming from maybe a difficult home life where they don't have a whole lot of support and a whole lot of mentoring and parental support to help them through this process.
The school has an 83% graduation rate, more than double the national average for teen mothers. And more than half of its graduates go on to earn a college degree, compared to the national average of just 2%. Elena Woolman is an alum of the Teen Parent Schools class of 2002.
I got pregnant at the very end of my sophomore year of high school. I was 15.
She says she, too, was bullied at school when her peers found out.
You're bullied in a way that students in particular, they think that pregnancy is, like, contagious, you know? Everybody might be doing the same things. A few of us happen to get pregnant, but then nobody else wants to be around you.
Even so, when Woolman's guidance counselor suggested that she consider the teen parent school, she says she wasn't interested. High school was hard enough, she thought, and starting somewhere new would be even worse. But she says she agreed to take a tour and instantly liked it.
It really helped me to blossom as a person and academically, and I did 100 times better than I was ever doing at the public school.
Woolman says she went from barely passing grades to earning high honors during the 2 years she attended. She's now an administrative assistant here. It's her dream job, she says, because she can give back to the school that taught her about the importance of developing grit and resilience. Newly arrived students, meanwhile, are finding their feet.
I was pretty scared. I didn't think I was going to make it.
But Kelsey, who enrolled this fall after giving birth to a daughter, is already earning high honors.
I plan on graduating, becoming an RN, and giving my daughter the life she deserves. And showing her that even though you're a young mom, you can still be a good mom and graduate and do your job.
In addition to the Sharon Abrams School, there are other schools for teen parents in Camden and Bangor. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.
For more of today's Maine news, visit our website, mainepublic.org. And from Maine Public, that's This Day in Maine for Friday, January 18th, 2019. Thanks to Ed Morin and our digital team. I'm Nora Flaherty.